Manuscript Releases, Volume 2, Numbers 97 to 161. M.R., Number 122. Christ to be Supreme. Council on Camp Meetings. Unreleased items for permanent exhibit in Australia, at Sunnyside, Mrs. White's home in Currumbong, Australia. We received your letter and thank you for it. Willie has just come into my room and informs me a boat sails tomorrow for South Africa direct. It is now just 4 p.m., and I feel that I cannot consent to let such a good opportunity go by and not improve it. We are so far separated that when we can reach and connect by letter, we ought to do so. I have a deep interest for you in Africa, and from the light which the Lord has been pleased to give me in regard to that country, the Lord has many precious souls to hear the message of mercy and warning to be given to the world. If the workers will hide themselves in Jesus and let Jesus alone appear, if they will walk humbly with God, if they will be doers of the lessons Jesus Christ has given us in His Word, then the heavenly intelligences will cooperate with their efforts, and they will not take one particle of glory to themselves, but give all the glory to God. You will surely see of the salvation of God as you look to Jesus and trust wholly in Him, for then He will clothe you all with the garments of His righteousness. The great danger will arise from individuals seeking to be first. The Lord Jesus has no sympathy with this spirit, and will leave any soul who will seek for the supremacy for himself. We need the Holy Spirit of God, and we may have it if we will not exalt our poor, finite selves. Our work is to open the door of the heart and let Jesus come in. He is knocking for entrance, and there are some poor souls who are inquiring how they shall find Jesus. Why, dear souls, Jesus has been hunting for you, and He stands at your door knocking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. Doubting souls, unbelieving souls, will you open the door? Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. Let him in, the heavenly guest. We have been in New Zealand a little more than 3 months. I have spoken 42 times and written 400 pages of letter paper. I have visited Auckland, Kao, and Napier. Our camp meeting was excellent because of the manifest workings of the Spirit of God upon human hearts in the conversion of souls and the reclaiming of backsliders and the precious knowledge that many received. The reproofs given were not rejected, but brought souls to repentance and confession and renouncing of their wrongs. Many things needed to be set in order. Selfishness and unfaithfulness in those connected with various lines of work were discerned and deplored. There are so many in this country who want their own way. They do not see how important it is to preserve unity in plans of action and to work and act after the pattern Christ Jesus. In Africa, in this, and all other countries, every soul must understand that in order to work in Christ's lines in word, in counsels, and in plans, he must keep the prayer of Christ before him, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 21 to 23. Reveal Christ as he is, the one altogether lovely, and the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, how his glory is dimmed by his professed followers, because they are earthly-minded, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. How shamefully is the Lord Jesus kept in the background. How is his mercy, his forbearance, his long-suffering, and his matchless love veiled, and his honor beclouded by the perversity of his professed followers? How long shall this be? Is it not full time that we receive in the school of Christ an altogether different education? If the image of Christ is seen by spiritually anointed eyes, you will say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." John 1, verse 14, 16.
Let everyone who has named the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. Lift up Jesus, talk of his love, tell of his power, and let self be lost behind the glory of his person and the mighty power of the cross of Calvary. O search and try your hearts before God. If his gospel is preached, you will rejoice by whomsoever it is preached. If you love Jesus, you will be individually laborers together with God, and you will successfully draw souls to Jesus, that in their turn they will, by their influence, draw other souls to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. It is time we were endowed with power from on high. Satan and all his confederacy of evil are working with untiring vigilance to oppose good. Never was there a stronger combination formed to neutralize the lesson and teachings of Christ and to sow the seeds of infidelity in regard to the inspiration of the Scriptures and sap its very foundation. Then I ask you, where is the light and the power which shall withstand this terrible incoming darkness, which is covering the world like a funeral pall? Satan is moving with his power from beneath to inspire men to form alliances and confederacies of evil against light and against the Word of God. Infidelity, papacy, and semi-papacy are coming in close and powerful companionship with professed Christianity. The low views of inspiration, the exalting of human ideas from men called wise, are placing human talent above the divine wisdom, and forms and science, so called, above the power of vital godliness. These are the signs of the last days. Let everyone who believes in Jesus Christ stop his dark, gloomy utterances and use his talent of voice in exalting Jesus and presenting testimonies that will magnify, honor, and adore the Word of God, illustrate its value, and extol its preciousness. The gospel makes itself known in its power in the consistent, holy, pure lives of those who are believers, hearers, and doers of the Word. The unity and love among believers makes the impression upon the world that the Word of God is true. Purely, boldly, faithfully, and uncompromisingly show the validity and divine character of the Word of God. Ye are my witnesses, Isaiah 43, verse 10, saith Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verse 9. O, arise and shine, all who believe the truth, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let every soul humble himself before God, seeking him in all meekness and lowliness of mind. Then the Lord will exalt you by giving you richly of his Holy Spirit. Mercy and the love of God will appear gloriously triumphant. I have been privileged to witness the past 5 weeks that which has given me much joy, to see a people eager, hungry, and earnest to hear the Word of God presented in clear and new light. The Word of God has been presented in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power. The Lord has sent Professor Prescott to us not an empty vessel, but a vessel full of heavenly treasure that he can give to every man his portion of meat in due season. This the people of God everywhere want. We cannot doubt for one moment that the Lord has seen how much his people needed just such precious food as they are receiving.
it is so difficult to arrest the attention of the people from business transactions long enough to hear lesson after lesson until they become interested to hear more. It is even more difficult to get the pleasure lovers and worldly living to hear the messengers of God voice the words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The crowds have come to the tent to hear, and many have heard and been profited. Many are deeply interested and come again and again. The burden of our message is the cross of Calvary. This is our warning and invitation. This is our encouragement to the sorrowing, the rich feast which we spread before the believers. Under the deep moving of the Spirit of God, we engage the attention of those not enlightened in regard to the truth for this time. With a longing desire, they fix their gaze upon the cross of Calvary. We ourselves shall be so affected by the wondrous sight that we shall study the lesson more and more earnestly, and then we shall let wondrous love flow forth from sanctified lips. We will draw with Christ. The Holy Spirit works the teacher and the learner also. Both are taught of God. We know, for we have seen this acted in living characters at this meeting. The Lord is working through His ministers and through the hearers. They testify, "I never heard such wonderful expositions of the Bible before." Another says, "The Bible seems to be a treasure house full of precious things." After the meeting's close, many testimonies are born of the great good this meeting is doing. As they see Maggie Hare taking the precious truths in shorthand, they act like a flock of half-starved sheep, and they beg for a copy. They want to read and study every point presented. Souls are being taught of God. Brother Prescott has presented truth in clear and simple style, yet rich in nourishment. Elder Corliss has given many discourses and Bible readings that are highly appreciated. Brother Daniels and Brother Colcord have held forth the word of light in clear and positive lines. The Lord has used these ministers to His name's glory. Instruction has been given in different lines to fit up men and women to be laborers together with God. 1 week ago, 19 were baptized. We need the truth presented in new places. From the light given me of God, it is a mistake to locate our camp meetings in one place. It is not wisdom to hold our large camp meetings over and over on the same ground. Carry the camp meetings to other localities, in or near the cities, where the citizens shall have an opportunity to listen to the reasons for our faith. It may be thought wisdom to calculate the saving of a little money, but what is that to be considered in comparison to giving the people the opportunity to hear the message of warning and giving them an opportunity to become enlightened? Cut down the expenses in some other lines rather than to deprive the cities of the great good and the increased knowledge they might gain of Bible truth. Many will be attracted through curiosity to come to our annual camp meetings. Those who come through curiosity may be convicted and converted to the truth. They have heard of Seventh-day Adventists, and yet have not heard them for themselves. We have heard many in different localities where our camp meetings have been held express themselves as very much surprised that we do believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe in His divinity. They say, "I have been told that this people do not preach Christ, but I have never attended meetings where Christ was more manifestly taught and exalted than in the sermons and in every line of work at these meetings. How can Seventh-day Adventists preach any other doctrine? In Him our hope of eternal life is centered. There is no other way but to lift Him up, the man of Calvary. All ministers should present to the people the only hope of the world. It is those who have not come to hear who accept the they say and present entirely false statements. How shall we make the falsehoods appear as they are, falsehoods inspired of Satan to make of none effect the truth of God? Let those who are bearing responsibilities study less the saving of means and the saving of labor in our camp meetings and the conveniences gained of having the camp meetings in one place year after year, and consider the great benefits to be given to those in other localities who know not the truth. The great importance of the messages God has given his ministers to bear is a subject worthy of thought and great wisdom of plans. 113, 1895, pages 1 to 3. To Dr. and Mrs. Kellogg, November 17, 1895, entire letter. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, Monday, January 1, 1900, 1899, has passed into eternity with its burden of record, sealed up, to be opened when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 11, 12. This day I consecrate myself unto God anew. We are privileged, as well as summoned, to be workers together with Jesus Christ. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Why do we falter? Why do we faint? Why do we become discouraged? Our gracious Redeemer has given us from his own lips, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whomsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath for Christ's sake, he cannot be my disciple." These are the terms of our discipleship in the Christian life. Christ that gave himself has positively stated the terms of our discipleship. We become his followers when we comply with the terms he has specified. Here is the standard of our duty in the clear light of a perfect, authoritative example. Christ Jesus is our only hope. Believe in him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ has explicitly commanded us to follow him, and we shall not walk in darkness. Thank the Lord Jesus. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, Tuesday, January 2nd, 1900. I am very thankful for rest in sleep the past night. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. W.C. White was called by telegram to Sydney to meet Brother Salisbury. A printing establishment is to be sold at Melbourne at large discount. If we had the means, it could be purchased for Kurenbong and for the Melbourne Press. May the Lord lead us at every step, is our prayer. We must move guardedly at every point. I have trouble with my left eye, but I have asked the Lord to heal my eye and the difficulties may be removed from me. He is able to do all things. Satan is the destroyer, and Christ is the restorer. He has given his word, and I believe that I do receive the things I ask of him. He has never said, "Seek ye my face in vain." This pain in my left eye is a severe trial and test to me. I have been using my right eye to bear the burden largely, to do the seeing for both eyes. I am writing with my left eye bound up. Nevertheless, I cannot see any way but to write. I am praying, Lord, increase my faith to perfect trust. In every burden the Lord lays upon us, there is a blessing for us if we will only discern it. The American mail goes tomorrow, and I have much to write. Have written 17 pages since 3 a.m., prepared for the mail which leaves Kurenbong at 9 a.m. As soon as I take my pen in my hand, I am not in darkness as to what to write. It is as plain and clear as a voice speaking to me. I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, make plain, thy paths. We are to trust the Lord with all our heart. We have proved the Lord. We have the sure word on which we shall rely. Christ assures us, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. When thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. Praise the Lord, I have verified his promise. Since I was a youth, 11 years old, I have believed the promise. I will cast my helpless soul upon the one who has bought me with the price of his own blood. Released November 1st, 1960.